Today's program is brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com.
Hey, 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 I'm Jimmy Carboni from Beer Sessions Radio. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Greetings, and welcome to Animal Instinct here on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Celia Kutcher, also known as the Food Healer, and I've got Jack Inslee Engineering. Welcome to the show. Today, we're talking to Alicia Halloran. She's an animal communicator and the founder of Healing Habitat. Alicia is a premier animal communicator among Chicago animal shelters and is here today to share how she's changing the way the world interacts with animals. Hey, Alicia, are you there?
Yes. Hi, Celia.
How are you today?
I'm really good. How are you?
Thanks so much
for having me on the show.
I'm so excited to have you on the show. I just want to jump into it. Let's just get started, okay?
Awesome. Totally.
Yes. All right. So let's start off by having you tell our audience what you do.
I am an animal communicator, and what I do is I help people who are anxious or overwhelmed with their pets find comfort and reassurance and insight with each other. It's really about really bringing a deeper connection with people and the animals that they love.
Cool. And so how did this all begin?
Well, back in 2004, I had a sudden death. One of my cats just kind of, well, he fell off my mantle and broke his neck and died.
Sorry.
And I decided that after that kind of shocking thing, I needed to pursue my dreams. Like, what was I waiting for? And that was to be an animal communicator. So I learned from him that if he could make that transition and through kind of the intuition of knowing that he was okay and that he wasn't in pain and he wasn't suffering, that I could take my next step and be safe as well.
Cool. And so did you know that you had this gift as a child, or was this something you learned as an adult?
Well, I always loved animals and I was drawn to energy work when I adopted two disabled cats about 15 years ago. One is blind and one was hit by a car, so she has some neurological damage. And I wanted to be proactive, and I knew that energy work would be a way that I could start to support them.
Mm-hmm.
It's really awesome. They're both still going strong at 17 and 18 years old.
Yay.
So that's definitely working.
Cool.
And what I learned is that really everybody has these abilities. Everyone can tune into energy.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did is I studied the art of clairvoyance for several years, and that's really where I honed my animal communication skills. And now I help other people. I teach people animal communication and other meditation techniques to open up those opportunities for themselves.
Cool. And so do you consider yourself to be a psychic?
I do. I would say that I am a psychic in the broadest term of that. I think that that's kind of the umbrella, while the more specific term that I would use is clairvoyant.
Okay. And what's the difference between a clairvoyant and a psychic?
Again, I think that psychic is the overall broad term.
Okay.
And that clairvoyant is the specific tool that I use.
Okay.
So you can be a clairaudient, you can be a medium, you can be all sorts of other things, and I would put that under the realm of psychic.
Okay.
And then, yeah, so that becomes like the detail.
Perfect. And so how do you communicate with animals? How does this work?
Well, the way that I communicate with animals is really through spirit. It's looking at them on a spiritual level, and then also the pictures that they're showing me.
Mm-hmm.
Animals are always showing us pictures. So whenever you think about, you know, my dog needs this, or my cat wants that, or my animal likes this, you're tuning into a picture that they're showing you.
Okay.
So what happens often is that those pictures get filtered from our own dysfunctions or insecurities. So it turns into my cat hates me when, or my dog is always mad at me because.
Mm-hmm.
And the animals don't really emote that way. So they're really communicating through love and pictures.
Cool.
And they'll always show you pictures. It is an amazing thing. You can go to a pet supply store, stand in front of the dog toys, ask your dog what they want,
mm-hmm.
and they'll lead you right to it. it's the most amazing thing to do.
And so for a normal person that hasn't studied or anything like that, do they need to relax or anything, or can they just kind of bring Spot over and just have them take a look?
I do that without the pet being there.
Oh, wow.
That's the cool part. That's where you're really tuning in to where they are, to their spirit, how they communicate. So animals communicate telepathically.
Okay.
You know, that they're showing you pictures. So something goes through your mind. I experience it often when I'm out in the world. Like if I'm out in the world having a great time, my animals will check in on me. I'll hear them, and I'll notice that they'll come up in conversation. I'll start talking about them.
That's funny.
And if the conversation is going well and everything's going well, it's really, really fun. And if I find that if I'm not having a really great time, they'll often come in and remind me that they're hungry or that my dog needs to go for a walk or something that is changing the trajectory of where I am. And if I ignore them, I will come home to a mess. I will come home to much more chaos than if I listen and say, okay, I'm not having fun where I am, I'm going to leave this situation and go home. They kind of rescue me in that way.
What a trip.
If you're at a party and not having a good time, oh, my animals are calling. I need to go home.
Exactly. I got to go walk the dog. I'm really sorry.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, it's the greatest truth that when that happens, there it's done. Like, if you ignore it, they will make a mess. No question.
Well, the thing that's really nice is that you get a warning at least, you know. It's not like you're coming home to mayhem, you know. So that's awesome.
And we all do. That's the part that is so incredible about animal communication. We always have that warning. We always get that picture. They'll always send it to us. It's just whether we're listening to it or not, or if we're hearing it in a way that isn't filtered.
Okay.
And that filter can also be the filter of guilt. Oh, my gosh, I feel so bad. I'm working late all the time. I never get my dog out. When actually, they could just be saying hello. They could just be coming in and just checking in.
Huh. Okay, well, I have a question for you then, because I used to have a Jack Russell who lived to the age of 19. He was a rowdy guy, too. I mean, typical Jack. And my mom took him over for me. I moved to Florida when he was about a year old, and I came back to go get him, and forget it, I wasn't getting him back. So it became my mom's dog, which was fine.
Right.
But let me tell you, every time this woman was out, especially after he hit the age of like 13, 14, I mean, it was like, I got to take Turbo out. I got to go get him. I got to take him out. I got to do this. Like, could he have just been harassing my mother to do this? Because I know he hated being inside all the time.
Well, that's another part, is that they'll take as much space as you'll give them.
That's the truth.
And that, again, going into the idea of how are they communicating and what are they communicating.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that may have been is that maybe your mom doesn't have the tightest boundaries in her life.
Not with the dog,
and
that's
so her
for sure.
Dog was like, bam, I'm in there.
So with him?
I can work with that.
Totally. Yeah, with us, I mean, the boundaries were really like in the sand. But with the dog, it was like, forget it. The dog was like the sixth child.
Right, exactly.
You know?
Right, right. Isn't that the way?
Always. But we always said that if we passed that and came back as animals, we want to be my mom's pets. So that's a good thing. And I think that's a great segue, too, into one of the things that you do is you're able to communicate with animals that have passed on. How does that work?
Well, it is the same type of communication. You know, when people come to me and they're looking to talk to animals that are present or past, really what I'm doing is I'm connecting with the spirit of the animal, of the person, and then the spirit of their relationship. And so if that animal isn't with that person anymore, they're still connected on a spiritual level. And so that's where that communication starts.
Wow. And so for you to read an animal that's passed, do you need a photograph or do you need anything or can you just tune in?
I don't actually. I love to see photographs, but I don't need to have anything. Basically, what I'm doing is I'm looking to connect to the energy. So what my process is that I ask for your name and then I ask for you to say your animal's name.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, when you say your animal's name, that's what's sparking it in your space, in your energy. You've immediately created a connection to that animal. Yeah.
You make it sound so easy.
I think that it is easy. I will say, it's not a difficult process, but it takes a lot of practice, and it takes the practice to really start to find your neutrality mm-hmm. and to take away those filters. Because, you know, going back to the idea of animals who have passed over, so many people call me, and they're so unsettled because the transition was difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I waited too long, I didn't wait long enough. You know, that there is something that's in the way of that communication. So they feel very sad, they feel very unsettled, or that there's no closure.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I help to bring to people. Those are all their own filters, that they've done something wrong, that they were given so much joy from this animal, and in the end it didn't, you know, they weren't able to reciprocate that when they were dying. And that really, it's I've always seen that no animal leaves until you're ready.
Yeah, really.
You know, so that idea of I waited too long, you waited the exact amount of time that you needed, always,
mm-hmm.
always. And that the level of suffering that animals show us is really them kind of collecting up the suffering around us. Because whenever an animal or a person or anything passes, transitions, they're transitioning to love. They're transmuting all of that energy back to love.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the emotion of feeling sad and feeling lonely, but, you know, and that sense of emptiness. It's really the idea that they're kind of pulling out all of that sadness and out of our space and transmuting it to love.
Wow.
We don't always want to let that go.
Yeah.
That's where we get stuck. And to be able to make sense of that, that's where I help people, is to make sense of what was the agreement? Why were we together?
Mm.
What was the journey that you were on together? And that's one of my favorite things. Animals come to us as guides. And I see them as guides, you know, that are spirit, and then it's time for them to show us something. So they bring themselves into a body,
mm-hmm.
and they take us on a journey. And some of those journeys are 6 months. Some of those journeys are 18 to 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
But you can always say that from the moment that that animal came into your life and the moment they exited, you're a different person.
Yeah, that's the truth.
And that's the most exquisite thing, to be able to see when they transition out how you have transitioned in your life. It's just beautiful.
That's really cool. And it's so true. So do you believe that we each pick our animals, or our animals pick us?
I think that they pick us.
Yeah.
I think they pick us. And I think that when we do choose to pick them, I had a guinea pig. Oh, my gosh. His name was Fermi. And I always said that he was quantum. And I got him as a little baby guinea pig. And when I first got him, I didn't really have much of a connection to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I fed him. I cleaned his cage. He was really cute. And then one night, I was laying in bed, and his cage was out in my living room. And I just was falling asleep. And as I was falling asleep, I watched his spirit enter his body.
Wow.
It was the most
wow.
amazing thing, that this glorious ball of light just came right into that body.
Wow.
And from then on, it was like, that was, Fermi was my guinea pig boyfriend. And he, you know, I took him places. I would take him to different events that I would do readings at. And I always called him the George Clooney of guinea pigs, because all the girls wanted to pet him and all the guys wanted to be him, you know. He had a way. He sure had a way.
I'm telling you, guinea pigs are hardcore when it comes to that. You fall in love with a guinea pig? I haven't recovered from losing one like 15 years ago.
Yeah, guinea pigs are amazing, amazing animals.
They really...
But part of what I'm saying is that what happens is, even if you say, well, I'm going to get that dog,
mm-hmm.
or I'm going to get that cat, the spirit that you are going to be with in that time will come into that body.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get the right one. You always get the right one.
So let's say somebody has a pet that is, we had a show last week about military dogs, and it's this documentary that's being done, and one of the soldiers actually got this dog, and he couldn't stand it. There was absolutely no connection between the two. Eventually, they did get that. So for people that have a pet that they're like, I don't like this pet, or this pet's really obnoxious, they're supposed to have it, correct?
Well, that's a whole other journey.
Mm.
And that what I call that is journeys of transition. You know, when people have animals and they're like, oh my God, I can't have this animal anymore.
Yeah.
Because they're moving, because there's an illness, because whatever reason, the journey of that animal is to say, I'm with you right now, and now I'm going to move over there. And that's a fine transition. There's no issue in that. There's no karma in that, if you will. I again learned that lesson from a guinea pig. So I brought home to be friends with Fermi, and they were not having it.
Oh no!
And I had to return him to the shelter that I adopted him from.
Mm.
And I think the drive back, which was like 5 blocks, I sobbed the whole time. And he sat in the back seat, and like just all of a sudden, he said, "You know, this is really a great opportunity for both of us. Because I get to take my next step. You get to take your next step, and nobody has to die."
Cool.
Like, oh, my gosh. That's really great. I like that a lot.
Guinea pig wisdom.
That really works.
I love it. What a great story.
Yeah, and he went on to be adopted and have a wonderful life.
Yay.
I was the transitioner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was the person that he came in, he had an experience, we learned from each other, it was short, it was sweet, and it was over.
So you were kind of like the rebound, basically.
Right, I was the rebound in that, yes. And so that can happen. You know, and a lot of times what happens is that you'll be in a situation that you think you have to keep that animal.
Yeah.
So looking at what you were saying about you adopted a Jack Russell and then you moved, you couldn't take him, so you gave him to your mom.
Yeah.
And that was the journey of that dog. He wanted to be with your mom.
I'll tell you what.
You were the transitioner to that. She would not have gone and gotten that dog.
No. And he had, you know, a life that, he had a great life with her. It was way more chill than with me.
And if he had come with you, it would have been very, very difficult for both of you.
Totally.
So you can see that, like, oh, there's the path. And that most people who are rehoming to places that they know are okay.
Yeah.
And it's to be able to release that guilt, that shame that you couldn't take care of everyone. And that you really can't. So if it's not the match, then definitely it's something to be clear on as to whether it's your resistance or there's just not a match there.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
I have a little no-eyed Shih Tzu named Odie.
Mm-hmm.
And when I adopted him, he came from the Chicago Pound. He had severe glaucoma. He was a matted little mess.
Mm.
And I have no idea what his history is. He was at least 5 years old when I adopted him. And I've had him for 4 years this coming May.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that it has taken every bit of those 4 years to get him to trust me,
wow,
to have an interaction that is dog-like.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's been really an amazing journey. And there were several times that it's like, well, maybe this just isn't the guy for me. Maybe we need to move him on. But
yeah,
every time that I tried, I couldn't get through. It wasn't that I couldn't do it. It was that the people that I talked to were like, you know, any shelter were full. You know, we don't readopt that way. Like, there was just no access.
Wow.
So we got to do that together. And he is an amazing dog. Absolutely an amazing, amazing dog.
Oh, that's sweet. Well, we need to take a quick break. So I am talking to Alicia Halloran of Healing Habitat. We'll be back in about 2 minutes.
And today's break song is called It's Cold and Beautiful by Magical Mistakes. This is HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Since 2001, Heritage Foods USA has sold pasture-raised, antibiotic-free heritage meats to restaurants and homes around the country. Our farmers raise their animals with care using traditional methods guaranteed to produce the very best-tasting meat. Our pork breeds include Berkshire, Red Wattle, Duroc, Gloucester Old Spot, Large Black, and Tamworth, and our beef comes from Piedmontese, Angus Akiyushi, Belgian Blue, Highland, Simmental, and Belted Galloway cattle. We also carry a rotation of 24 rare breeds of heritage chicken, seasonal specialties like lamb, goat, geese, and of course, heritage turkeys. Visit us online at www.heritagefoodsusa.com or give us a call at 718-389-0985 to place your order today.
And we are back. I am talking to Alicia Halloran, animal communicator and founder of Healing Habitat. Alicia, I want to kind of go back to talking about animals that have passed. So what happens to animals after they die?
They go back to spirit. They kind of go back to the energy of love, you know, the universal source. That's how I see it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the experiences that I had, again, this is like the guinea pig show. That's so funny. Every experience I'm telling you is about a guinea pig I had. But I had this sweet little guinea pig who was a horse when he was in another life. He had told me that when I adopted him. And he looked like a horse.
That's
he had
funny.
A big blaze on his nose and a star on his head.
Oh.
He was amazing. And when he died, he showed me. I was at the vet. And they took him into the back, and I just stayed and I meditated and I just kind of watched the process. And what he showed me was this beautiful, it was like this purple and orange horse.
Oh, cool.
This big, giant spirit horse. And in its, I don't know, it, like its wither, I guess you would call it,
mm-hmm.
was a little shape of a guinea pig.
Awesome.
And when he transitioned, that filled in. And that horse just kind of moved on. It was the most beautiful thing I had ever seen.
Wow.
And I'd never seen anything like that before.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that was really. So they go back to the source that they've come from. But they are always with us,
mm-hmm.
you know, in terms of being that guide. And when I talk to people whose animals are transitioning, one of the things people ask me about, you know, well, will they reincarnate with me? Will they come back to me?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't often see that. What I usually see is that they become the directors of who comes next.
Oh, cool.
So the animals that come next are usually driven by those who have just passed or have passed long ago. And that it becomes that transition of here are all the attributes of this animal that you loved. And that they are all included in whoever's coming in, and then more.
Oh, wow.
Because you're growing, and you're always growing and changing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always more that you can have. But they are always like I see them as leaders. As you go down your path in your life, your animals are preparing that path for you.
Cool. And so
it's very cool.
Can an animal that passed, can they get reincarnated into a human being?
I believe so. I don't see why not.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there are always circumstances for that. It's where their energy is.
Yeah. Wow. And so
I think that people can also have parts of them in animals.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the idea of well, okay, another really funny story about
please.
Odie. One of the things that Odie does is he makes this yip noise that is the most startling noise. I jump out of my skin. It always startles me. No matter what it is, no matter if I know he's about to do it, it always startles me. And my grandfather used to make that noise.
Oh, how funny.
And he would do it to tease. He would do it to startle everybody. And it was always very funny. And when I realized that there is a connection between my grandfather and Odie,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say that Odie is my grandfather.
Right.
But they definitely know each other. They definitely have an attribute that is shared. And that when I realized that, it also was such a comfort in having that connection to my grandfather again,
mm.
who had passed away long ago.
That's really beautiful. And so when you're starting communication with an animal, whether present or past, do you have to ask them for permission to start a conversation, or can you kind of just go over and be like, hi?
Well, it depends on if I have a client that's calling me, that is permission right there.
Mm.
Otherwise, I think that I answer a call more than ask permission.
Okay.
And that, I'm going to say, is more with wildlife, more with the sense of animals as a whole on the planet. What are they doing here?
Mm-hmm.
If they need a little support, if they need to be said hello to.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, you know, when you're working with animals, we have such a specific way of saying that they are victims of us.
Mm-hmm.
And that what happens to them is our fault.
Yeah.
And that truly it's their mock-up to show us that. They want to show us what's going on. And so they're very committed to this in their lives. They will give their lives to show us what's happening.
Wow.
And that we internalize that and we feel badly, we feel guilty. But, you know, long ago when there was the BP oil spill in the Gulf,
yeah,
I remember all of those pelicans coming up on shore, and they were all covered in grease, and it was just horrible. And everybody was feeling really, really horrible about the fact that we did this to them.
Yeah.
But what I saw so clearly was that they were saying, this is how you look.
Oh, wow.
This is what's happening. Everything here is covered in this big black slime.
Oh, wow.
And that you kind of go through the trajectory of history, and then you see, okay, well, then we had the recession, and we had all of these things. We really were covered in that big black slime.
Yeah, we really were.
And that they were there to say, this is what's happening. This is what you look like. And that they weren't there to say, this is bad or this is wrong. But that idea of being able to then help them shows that we can also help ourselves.
Definitely.
But it's to see that reflection. When you can see that reflection right off, it changes how you communicate with the animal.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're working with compassion instead of with empathy or sympathy.
Right.
You're saying, I see your suffering. I see what's happening. And I see that this is what you're teaching us through that. And with that, the gratitude is tremendous. Animals just want to be seen for what they are,
wow,
for what they're experiencing.
So,
as do people.
That's the truth, isn't it, boy? Seriously. So here's a question for you. If you go to like a zoo or a rescue place, do you get overwhelmed?
I don't get overwhelmed. I think of myself as a cheerleader.
Mm-hmm.
And especially at rescues, I love to go and just validate that everybody is either there for a reason or their people are on the way.
Mm.
And just to set the energy in the space of that, I don't feel that I need to rescue everybody. I don't feel that I need to take them all home, because
yeah,
I can't.
Yeah.
There's no way. But I have experienced, you know, being in different shelters and people saying, oh, well, this animal is it's really sad. Nobody's ever adopted them.
Right.
They've been here, you know, for 30 years, and there's nothing, you know, nobody ever comes in.
Yeah.
And I experienced that at a shelter in Chicago, and it was really funny. They then told me that cat, the only room that cat could ever be in was the kitten room, because it fought with all the other cats.
Mm.
And as we were having this conversation, and it was always, if anybody was in the room, she would hide. And as we were having that conversation, I was just looking around, and I said, she's the nanny. She's
totally
the one taking care of all of these kittens.
Totally.
And as I said all of that, she came and just stood right in front of me.
Oh, how funny.
And it's like, nobody will ever adopt you. You have a job here. This is what you do. And that's really important to know.
Yeah.
That the animals create these shelters. The animals are the ones that say there is a need for a sanctuary for us to go to.
Hmm.
And we'll round up the people and we'll round up the place. And they are the creators of it.
Wow.
And it's really beautiful to see that and to know that when you go into a place and there are animals that won't get adopted, can't get adopted, are never going to be adopted, they run the place.
Wow.
That's their job. They are the energetic grounding cords for that place to make sure that that place stays around and broadcasts out to the right people to volunteer, to the right people to bring animals in, to the right people to bring money in.
Yeah, really.
They are great problem solvers.
Wow. And so, with you, are some animals more communicative than others?
Yes. Oftentimes, I'll have a client call about one particular animal, and that animal doesn't really have much to say. But every other animal in the house is like, blah, 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 blah. That they definitely have different times of talking and different ways of talking. So some are really communicative. They just want to be seen, so they're kind of like, you know, a little bit of a puppy enthusiasm. They're playing. And once you say hello to that, they're like, okay, yeah, all right, I'm cool now.
And, like, what happens if you get a message that might not be, like, the nicest thing and you've got to give it to the pet's guardian or owner? Like, how does that go?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
Do you ever get, like, I don't know, like a cat or dog being like, I hate this, I hate the food, or just, like, sits and complains, and then you've got to, like, tell the owner,
I've never had to tell somebody that their animal hates them.
Oh, that's awesome. Phew!
And I will tell you that that is the first question everybody asks me.
Really?
Are they happy? Do they love me? And that by the sake of asking the question, and this is usually my answer, you've already answered the question. I have ratted out animals, which is really funny. I was at a function, and this dog and his owner came, and they were talking about the walks. And the dog sat so perfectly calm as we were talking about the walks, and the idea that he was a little crazy and a little out of control during the walks. And it was really that the guy was also a lot on his phone and wasn't really paying attention. And the dog was totally, like, spot on for that. And then we started talking about, he's like, well, sometimes he just, like, takes off. And the dog started to get more and more, not agitated, but more like, okay, we're good. We can go now. And I said, oh, that's when your dog wants to go eat the goose poop.
Oh, no.
And the dog was like, oh. Oh, that was my secret.
I don't like this lady. We got to get out of here.
And it was hilarious. And the guy was like, yep, I totally know that. I know exactly where that is. I know exactly when that is. It was just so funny. The dog totally got ratted out. And the minute that that happened, he settled down and was like, all right, we're here.
Fine. My secret's out.
Yes, exactly.
Boo. And so the messages you're getting from animals, how accurate are they?
You know, I would say that animals communicate in truth. And truth is one of those things that is really, really big. And so the other way you could say it is in love. So the energy of love. And we come to that in filters. So you can hear something in one moment and not understand it or agree with it. And then a week passes and it's like, oh, yeah, right. You kind of evolve with the behavior. You evolve with what's going on. And so the accuracy is something that is kind of amorphous. And that usually when I'm reading somebody or reading their dog, I'm not really concerned with accuracy, but I hear it in people's voices that they're like, oh, right, that's it. Got it.
You know?
They understand what it is that I'm saying sometimes more than I do because I'm not part of the situation.
Yeah, totally.
I'm just looking at the energy of it.
Now, that happened to a friend of mine, actually, who had rescued this dog. And the dog was rambunctious. He was cool. But they took him to a communicator, and the communicator went nuts about a red blanket. The dog wants his red blanket. He had it as a puppy. He needs a red blanket. And the owners were, like in Best in Show, the couple with the busy bee, like they're exactly those people. So they, like, the wife went nuts and went out and bought like 50 different red blankets. And, you know, of course the dog was like, I don't like any of these because it's not the red blanket. And it was actually, it was pretty funny to I mean, not for them, but to sit back and observe this whole thing going on, because the dog was kind of a jerk and a prankster. So it was like, is this legit or is he just messing with you guys at this point, you know?
Right, right, right. And the other question becomes, what does the red blanket represent?
And that was never asked. They should have called you.
And that becomes, and that happens often, that we work, you know, we live in these bodies. And so we think these bodies are the thing,
mm-hmm.
and that they are the answer, when actually it's spirit that is the answer. And when you're working in spirit, spirit can call it a red blanket, or your body can call it a red blanket, but your spirit knows that that's comfort,
mm-hmm.
knows that that's safety. And that to be able to pull that apart, those are the things that I find is one of my greatest strengths in doing this, is that taking something that doesn't make any sense and pulling it apart to be able to find those places. What's behind the red blanket? What's behind that energy of fear? What's behind that energy of being a prankster? You know, to be able to kind of go deep enough to say, oh, okay, this is where this resolves. As opposed to kind of saying, well, you know, change the food, get a blanket.
Right.
You're good.
No, and you're totally right, because I actually walked this dog twice a day for 2 years, and so I knew the dog better than they did, and he was found running on a highway somewhere, completely abandoned. He had horrible, horrible separation anxiety, and both parents were very, very busy, and so their schedules were incredibly inconsistent. So like what you said makes a hell of a lot more sense than he wants his red blanket, you know?
Right. Exactly. And that, you know, when you're working with an animal that has a separation anxiety, it becomes the same thing, that they're so tied into your energy
mm-hmm.
that when you leave, it's really disconcerting that you're not there.
Yeah.
That your body isn't there, because your spirit is still there. There's a chunk of you that's still there. And that the animal is usually trying to say something like, just go already, please.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, somebody giving you a problem and you're thinking about it all the time, all the time. Or a song getting stuck in your head that,
mm-hmm.
like, just enough
mm-hmm.
that when you can separate, you know, separation anxiety kind of goes both ways.
Yeah.
It's your energy. And so I often tell clients that when you go to work, when you get in the car to go to work, just separate from your dog. Tell them on a telepathic level, show them a picture
yep.
in your mind where you're going to go, what you're going to do, and that they will relax because they know where you are.
Yeah.
And if they do come in and you think about them, think kindly. Think kindly of yourself. Think kindly of them. Don't picture them trashing the house, because then they'll trash the house.
Yeah, you've just given them permission.
Right, exactly.
Oh, man.
And don't resist them trashing the house.
Exactly. Alicia, I've loved this. Oh, my God. I want to talk to you for like 3 hours, but we're out of time, and I'm so bombed,
God, this
man.
So much fun.
I'm having a blast.
This is so much fun.
Oh, my God. You're my new best friend. I love this. So how can people find you and find out more about you? Give us every way that you can be reached.
Okay. Well, if you want to know more about understanding your animals, my contact information is all on my website, which is www.healinghabitat.net. That's healinghabitat.net. You can also, on my website, download my article, 7 Signs Your Animal is Trying to Tell You Something. And if you're on Instagram, you can go ahead and follow the cutest no-eyed Shih Tzu you will ever meet, and you can search for Odie's eyes.
He is cute.
He is a cutie.
Yeah, he's really cute. Yeah, I like him very
thank
much.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been so wonderful.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much. I'd love to have you back on in the future at some point and just, you know, continue this conversation, because I'm totally fascinated.
I'm
yay!
Great.
Awesome. So, Alicia, thank you so much. It was Alicia Halloran of Healing Habitat. I am Celia Kutcher, also known as the Food Healer. You can find Animal Instinct and Food Healer on Facebook. Like their pages. Foodhealer.com is a blog all about health for you and your pets. So check that out, too. And I will talk to you guys next week. Take care.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.